God in spirit and in truth. And so what better way to start the week, as I often say. If we have any visitors with us here today, we want to thank you. You're our honored guest. If there's anything that, any questions that you have at the conclusion of the service, let us know what questions you have. I know sometimes if you're the first time worshiping in the Church of Christ, it can look different than what you may be used to. Love to be able to answer those questions for you. We're going to continue on with our sermons as we work our way through Proverbs, and as I'm doing on Sunday morning Bible study and on our Sunday morning sermons. But before we do, last week I did a lesson. I got a lot of good feedback, so I want to thank you for that, on the Proverbs of our fathers, right? And I thought I had them all, but there was one that I left out. And Brother Pat Danz, he made it known to me, so I wanted to make sure that I got it out there today. Because his was less of a saying, but more of an example. And he was so thankful for the example, Bill, that you set for him. He said, as a young man, my dad, you know, on his other job, you know, we were cutting grass, and he was thinking, we're getting close to the end of the day, and I was so happy when the end of the day was coming. But my dad, he would never say no to the senior citizens. And whenever there was a senior, somebody in need, or somebody in need of help, he would say, sure, we'll help you. And Pat would say, oh, come on. As a young man, I was just ready to finish my day. And so he was so thankful, though, for that example, because now as a you know, younger man himself, older younger man, I guess you could say. I don't want to say middle age, because that'll start another conversation. But he was so thankful for the example that you set for him, and he was so thankful because now that's something that he's tried to take on, that ability to, when somebody's in need, and especially our seniors, to make sure he's willing to help. And so that's a great story. I thought I had them all, but I missed one. So I wanted to make sure I corrected the record and got that out there. And so this morning we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. If you want to have your Bibles open to that, we'll have a few different passages. I'll have them on the screen behind me as well. It was our scripture reading this morning. And the idea is that he directs our paths, that he will make the crooked path straight. Amen. And so in life, are there not right paths and wrong paths? In life, don't we understand that if we ask ourselves what determines the right path, what determines the wrong path, what answers do you usually come up with? Because we need to understand, brethren, as I was telling my class on our Sunday mornings now, as I'm doing the Proverbs class upstairs, that the book of Proverbs is a book of contrast, essentially, right? You got the wise man and the foolish man, right? Those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in themselves, and on and on and on. So it's a book of contrast. And so you have the wrong way and you have the right way. And when we think about the path that the Lord sets forth for us, we need to remember that it's the Lord's way that is always the right way. How many times have you received some of the advice like we talked about last week, right? The Proverbs of our fathers? And you receive that advice as a young man or as a young woman, and you received it from your father or your mother, and then you go and you reject that advice. You do the opposite. How many times have you brought pain and suffering upon yourself that didn't need to be brought upon yourself because you rejected the advice of somebody who's already walked the path that you're trying to walk? I would venture to say, if I asked for a show of hands, every hand in the auditorium could go up. I know I've rejected plenty of advice from my parents, right? We whooped a few times, a few too many times probably, but you know what? It set me on the straight and narrow path, right? You didn't soon forget it. And so I think about these things, right? And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 on the screen behind me says, trust in the Lord with what? With all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He will make your path straight. When you read this verse, some versions say he will direct our path. Some versions say he will make our path straight. Essentially the same thing, right? And so we understand, brethren, that our path is only crooked when we start to deviate from God's path and we start to look internally to what sayest David, right? And what do I want? What do I feel? What's the direction I want to go in, right? What direction are my friends leading me in? Or my mentors or other people who are influential in my life, whether they're in the church or out of the church, what direction are they leading me in? And so when I think about this, your path only becomes crooked when you're not actually able to receive instruction. When you're not able to receive instruction, you know what the book of Proverbs calls you? It calls you a fool. Those who reject wise instruction are a fool. There are ways that seem right unto a man, and in the end it leads to death. And so these are things that we need to remember. Brethren, that is the goal of not only today's lesson, but our goal as disciples of Christ, that we need to have our paths directed and to have our path, our crooked paths made straight, because to be directed by God and have our path made straight, was that not the goal of Noah? Wasn't it the goal of Abraham? Wasn't it the goal of Moses? Wasn't it the goal of Joshua? Wasn't it the goal of David? And last time I checked, isn't it to be our goal? It's to be our goal because we chose to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We chose to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. And so, brethren, we need to ask ourselves, how do we get from here to heaven? How do you get from here to heaven? Is it by listening to your own heart and by doing what your own heart and your mind has led you to believe? Or is it to listen unto the Almighty God, receive instruction, and then implement instruction, right? How many times do we receive information, but we don't actually apply the instruction, the wise advice, the wisdom that we receive? So knowledge without application is what? It's useless, right? It's like the foolish man who refuses to receive instruction. And so we are assured, brethren, that the Lord will direct our paths if we comply with the conditions that he gives us in that passage on the screen behind me. So what are the conditions on the screen behind me? Well, there's three of them that I see, and we look at that. The first condition is to trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. The second condition is lean not on your own understanding. You know, you guys have heard me say this before. Excuse me. We oftentimes have what, right? You'll hear that saying, what does your heart tell you? Trust in your heart. Trust in your gut. But if your heart and your gut are made up on your own life worldly experiences and not on being guided and directed by the Word of God and the teachings of God, you're going to end up with some very different outcomes, right? And so the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked are really opposed to one another, are they not? And that's why we call the book of Proverbs a book of contrasts. And so you look at those three conditions on the screen behind me. Those conditions are, well, they're both positive but also negative. And so let's deal with the negative one first. And for the Lord to direct our paths, we must do what? Not lean on our own understanding. That's the one that's negative. Because when we lean on our own understanding, Jeremiah chapter 10 tells us that we are not capable of directing our ways. Amen? And so, brothers and sisters, if you look at this idea and this principle is all throughout Scripture. You look at the very next verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, verse 7. Do not be wise in what? Your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. How many times have we even received God's instruction, not just our parents' instruction, and then we still turn away from God's instructions because maybe I don't always agree with everything that God has to say? Anybody here ever not agree at some point in their faith, some point in their walk with the Lord, you haven't necessarily always agreed with what the Scriptures teach? And so what happens then? You start to go the other way. You start to make other decisions. And you bring unnecessary, consequences, unnecessary remorse unto your life. And so, brothers and sisters, Proverbs 3 and 7 is crucial because God often portrays the fool as someone who is wise in his own eyes. Proverbs 26, verse 5, verse 12, verse 16. Many other proverbs could be mentioned, but for expedience's sake, I think that suffices. When God says something, how many times does he have to say it to make it, well, law, to make it a command? Does he have to say it five times? Any of you ever talk to your kids at least 3, 4, 5, 6 times? Right? They didn't just take it after the first time. You had to say it a second time and a third time and a fourth time, right? Maybe, hopefully, it would start to stick. God only has to say it once for it to be true. And so, brothers and sisters, you look at this lesson here this morning. Those who are wise in their own eyes are what? Those are individuals who are often ruled by conceits, who depend on their own intellect to make it through this thing we call life. So instead of depending on God's wisdom, they depend on their own intellect, their own life experience to try to make the best life for themselves. And God tells us continuously that that is not wise. To be wise in one's own eyes is a demonstration of pride. To fear the Lord is a demonstration of humility. Brethren, is there an idea of submission in the Lord's church? Are we supposed to submit unto Almighty God, submit unto His moral principles, submit unto His teachings? And when we choose not to, then we're rejecting Jesus. Remember when Jesus says, I want you to be on fire for me, not cold, but I wish if you are cold, I'd rather have you be cold versus lukewarm because you make me sick. And so we have to remember to fear the Lord demonstrates humility. And a New Testament example of this principle is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. In Romans 12 and 16, it tells us, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be arrogant in mind, but associate with the lowly. And what does it say? Do not be wise in your own estimation. You can find this principle all throughout Holy Writ. Old Testament, New Testament, it's in there. Paul warns the people of the Roman province. He warns the people of Rome. Do not be puffed up with a sense of your own wisdom. It is good to distrust oneself. Is that an interesting statement? That it's good to distrust one's own self? Because what are we often relying upon? Life experience, right? Have you guys ever had your children, maybe you're dating somebody, and you could tell that this isn't probably going to work out, it isn't probably the best choice, but how often are they willing to heed your advice in the situation? Have you ever had this conversation where maybe it's not just even a dating partner, maybe it's something else, right? You're trying to talk to your children, you already see the writing on the wall, you see where this is, the path that this is leading down, you try to give them some wisdom, you try to instruct them, and they're not willing to listen. Why? Because oftentimes they're not mature enough to understand the instruction of the Lord, understand the instruction of their parents, understand the instructions of mentors in their life. But you know, it's not just to beat up on Teens Day. How many times here when you're, anybody here maybe in their 70s and haven't always done exactly what the Lord has called them to do? Anybody here in their 40s or their 50s or their 60s who haven't always done everything that the Lord has called you to do? So it's not just the kids, right? So we have to understand, in order to be directed and have our paths directed by God and our crooked paths become straight, we need to be all in. We need to buy into all of Holy Writ. How many things are wrong in the Scriptures? You guys find anything that's not true, that's wrong? How many times has God always given you what's best for your life? He gives us the New Testament to be our guide in this thing called life, and His Word is always true. His Word is always right. And the Bible tells us why we must not lean on our own understanding. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 14 and verse 12, it tells us that man's ways result in death. There are ways that seem right unto us, and in the end it leads to death. In Proverbs 16 and in Proverbs chapter 21, we learn that we should not lean on our understanding because what seems right to us doesn't always please the Lord. Proverbs 28 and 26, because it's foolish to trust in one's own hearts. Jeremiah 10 and 23, because man cannot direct his own steps. Brethren, how about those times in life? Those times in life where we don't understand what God is trying to say. We don't always necessarily agree. And have you ever thought that maybe you could do a better job? I mean, who else could guide my life better than me? Right? Sure, God has all the answers. And so we start to do what? We start to shun some of God's teachings. We start to question some of God's teachings. You guys remember the book of Job? Job chapter 38, verse 1 through 3 on the screen behind me says, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsels by using words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you to instruct me. By chapter 40, Job realizes how insignificant he is. By chapter 42, he doesn't only realize his insignificance, but he's starting to repent that he was questioning God's ways in the first place. And he realizes after seeing and hearing the greatness of God that he was nothing. And then he begins to retract his accusations. He starts to retract the questions, and he repents in dust and ashes, it tells us in chapter 42. You guys ever see Judges chapter 21 and verse 25? It's the very last verse of the book of Judges, but you find this statement many times there in the book of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and it says what? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. How did that work out? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Well, what was right in their own eyes was various forms of sexual assaults, miseries of all sorts, thefts, murders, idolatries, adulteries, broken homes. Do I need to go on? But that's what was right in their own eyes. Do you see how there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to death? And we're not talking about some of the other pagan nations that didn't maybe necessarily understand God's ways. We're talking about God's chosen people. God's chosen people, when they did what they thought was right in their own minds, did everything contrary to Almighty God's teachings. But it does not have to be that way, does it? It does not have to be that way. The scriptures give us an alternative. Rather than leaning on our own understanding, the Bible says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. So in other words, we are to depend what? Completely on Almighty God. Can you say honestly that you completely depend on Almighty God? Are there areas in your life where maybe you put God in a box and maybe you're not necessarily always willing to depend on God, depend on his teachings, right? Depend on his word. Are there areas of your life where God's kind of off limits? Because, you know, I don't mind, following God in these areas because it's not really me. It doesn't really affect me. But this area over here, you know, that's kind of off limits. Do you got any off limits spots in your life for God? You see, it's a great question to ask ourselves, brethren, because when we make plans, when we make decisions, when we endeavor to do anything, how often do you seek the counsel of God? How do we seek the counsel of God? How do we go about doing that? Are we searching his word to see what it has to say? In Psalm chapter 119, this is something we've all heard a million times, right? What? Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. I asked my class here this morning, I said, you guys ever get out of bed in the middle of the night in a dark bedroom and stub your toe? It hurts, right? Because I wasn't smart enough to maybe flip the light on the nightstand. Or to maybe use my cell phone as a little flashlight. And you stub that toe, it hurts. Why? Because you weren't wise enough to turn on the light. The Bible, the Holy Writ, Old, New Testament, is our light. It is our guide to our path. And so, brethren, it will guide you, but only if you let it. I told the men this morning, iron sharpens iron, amen? But only if you allow yourself to be sharpened, right? And how do we do the sharpening? By sharing each other's wisdom about life? No, by using the Word of God and life experience and applying the knowledge and the wisdom that we have acquired to help sharpen one another, to encourage each other, to edify one another in Almighty Writ, right? And so, brothers and sisters, we have the Scriptures for a reason. Seeking counsel from God also involves going to God in prayer, amen? We go to God in prayer, like James chapter 1 and verse 5 talks about. We talk to God through prayer. We ask him for his wisdom. God has laid it all out for us, brethren. If only we are willing to give ourselves fully over to God, to do all that he says, love the Lord your God with part of your hearts. No? Love the Lord your God with not with a partial heart, but with a full heart, with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, our paths become straight once we be resolved to do and to follow God's instructions. How many times have we all strayed from God's teachings and end up with remorse, end up with additional hardships, end up dealing with consequences that we didn't have to deal with, but we were too, well, foolish to listen to Almighty God, foolish to listen to His direction, and foolish enough to not listen and heed the advice of people who have already walked the path that we are trying to walk. And so, brothers and sisters, these principles, they're illustrated all throughout the Holy Scriptures. You think about Naaman. You guys remember Naaman, right? When you think about this idea about a man who is not willing, or a man is unable to lead his own path, think about Naaman, right? Naaman, he was the one with leprosy, right? And he heard about a man of God, a prophet of God, who would be able to heal him of his leprosy. What do we know from that story in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 12? We know that he goes to the prophet of God. He goes to Elisha. Elisha tells him exactly what to do, and he doesn't want to do it. Why? Because he already had some preconceived notion in his mind of that Elisha was going to do some miraculous, spectacular thing. Don't we got rivers at home that are cleaner than the river that he told me to go to? He was so mad he was getting ready to storm off and just live in leprosy. Until somebody said, why don't you just do what he says? And so he thinks about it, he thinks on it, and what does he do? He goes and dips 7 times in the river. Leprosy's gone, his skin's made like a new baby. It was because of, in his mind, he already had a preconceived notion. Anybody ever here have some preconceived thoughts? We don't necessarily want to follow the word of God because we think we already know better. Naaman was in that situation, but luckily he was talked into doing what the prophet had said, and it all worked out. But it didn't work out till he was willing to do what? To heed the advice, the instruction of God's prophet. And so, brothers and sisters, we look at that one and we look at another example. How about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 through 12? We know the Apostle Paul, he allowed God to direct his path. And in Acts chapter 16, 6 through 12, that's that Macedonia call. You guys remember the Macedonian vision? The Apostle Paul, he wanted to do what? He wanted to go into Asia. He wanted to preach the message in Asia. And God says, listen, Asia will have, they'll get their moment, but not yet. I have a plan and I have a path, and you're going to walk that path. And so he hindered him from going into Asia. Instead, he gets that very night, he gets the vision, he gets the Macedonia call. And then what do we see? We see in those verses and in that story that the house of Claudia, or of Lydia, and her whole household were converted unto Almighty God, and they did mighty works unto the service of God. And so it wasn't that he didn't want the Asians to be saved. It was not yet. I have a plan. You're going to follow the plan. And so even the Apostle Paul was then what? Rebuked by God from time to time and said, follow the instructions. Follow the instructions that I give you, and all will work out as it should. And so throughout Paul's ministry, there were so many horrible, unpleasant experiences that occurred. But Paul did what? He understood that for him to accomplish all he could in the Lord, he had to follow the path. He had to follow the path that God had set out for him, even though it was going to bring unpleasant and horrible sufferings unto his life. He followed the plan to a T. And at the end of his life, he was able to say, I did all that the Lord had required of me, right? If any of you have not heard the word or have heard the word and rejected it, your blood be on your own heads, for my hands are clean, for I've done all that the Lord has required of me. So brethren, I would pray that all of us could end our lives, when our life comes to an end, that I could lay on my deathbed and think that I've done all that the Lord has required of me. Wouldn't that be a great way to die? To be able to say that I've done everything that God has expected of me, and just with no doubts, no reservation, Lord, bring me home, right? The Apostle Paul says it's better to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But he stayed often in the body, not that he had his own choice of when he was going to die, like Jesus did. But Paul did what? While he was in the body, he did everything he could to bring about the will of God, to seek and save lost souls, and to plant churches. And his life and his ministry were indicative of that. How many churches were planted because of the work of the Apostle Paul and his traveling companions? How many souls were saved because he was willing to stay the path, to stay on the right path of righteousness, and to do all that Almighty God had required of him. Brothers and sisters, the greatest and then the ultimate example, this is my last one, we'll get ready to shut it down. The last and greatest example is no other than Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 6, verse 38, notice what it says on the screen behind me. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Amen? Are we to do our own will? Are we to do the will of Almighty God, who has sent us out into the world? Go and preach the gospel to all nations, taking the message to them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Brethren, God has given us a plan. And so as I close this down, let us remember, trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Don't lean on your own understandings, but acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. If we comply with these conditions that we've seen in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Lord will direct our paths and the crooked paths will become straight. Because trusting in the Word, trusting in the promises of God will guide us through the darkest days ahead. And because it will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Brothers and sisters, if you're hearing this message and you haven't always followed the path of God, then let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know how we can help you. If there's anybody here that needs mentoring, who needs help in understanding the Word of God, there's myself, we have our shepherds, we have many men and women within this congregation who are well-versed in the Holy Scriptures, who would love to sit down with you to help you have a deeper, fuller understanding of the Word of God and a deeper, fuller relationship with God. If you're here today and you're struggling with something, and you want the prayers of the church, let us know how we can pray for you. But if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you're on the wrong path. But you're getting closer to the right path because you're in the right house. You're in the right place. You could come down this aisle here this morning, confess Jesus, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and ask to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You'll be baptized, you'll receive your sins will be washed away, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will add you to the church, the kingdom. You could do that as we stand and sing the song of invitation.